You say, well, I kind of like to write, but I'm not really as good as something. If you like to write, then start. Write an article about the life change that God has given to you. You want to work in the bookstore or in the parking lot, just jump in and introduce yourself. Hi, I'd like to help in the parking lot. Great, and start. The ability to act. You love to cook gourmet foods. Great, buy a gourmet book and try making a gourmet meal each week and bring it over to my house. All kinds of ways to serve.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Have you ever wished that you could do something really significant for the Lord? Well, in reality, there are opportunities everywhere to use your talents for the Lord. He's just waiting for you to step forward and begin. Here is Pastor Wayne Cordero with part two of a message entitled, Gifts. You've got to use them.
We'll all make mistakes, like the guy that policeman stopped this guy in the car and he looked in, the police officer said, hey, Mantle, how come your car get kind of full of penguins? And Mantle said, oh, I saw him just wandering by the Isle of Wight, so I put him in my car. And the police officer said, Mantle, you better take these things to the zoo. Well, the next day, he sees Mantle driving down by Waikiki. So the police officer stops him and looks in the car. The penguins are still in his car. The only difference is now the penguins all have sunglasses on. And the police officer said, Mantle, I thought I told you to take these penguins to the zoo. Mantle said, police officer, I did. We had so much fun. Today, we're going to the beach. At least he tried, come on. Sai Porgi people are so nice. They try, at least they try. So in your attempts to follow the Lord, go for it. And then number two, you say, well, Wayne, what if my life is just so full of stuff? It's hard to follow God because my plate is so full. Well, that's when the Lord would say to you and to me, number two, would you write in your notes, prune your life to what's eternal. Begin to prune your life to what's eternal. Because we have a tendency, like a snowball, to just collect more and more stuff to our life. We just start to become, as it were, spiritual pack rats, or where we just accumulate, whether it be activities, mentalities, attitudes. What is it that's hindering you from giving your best to God? Excuses, fears, fear of failure, doubts. What is it that's hindering you? Sin, unresolved sin. There's a lot of things that would hinder us from being the people that God created you to be from the beginning of time. Let God begin to prune things out so that the one he created you to be will start to emerge. Let's read what Hebrews says together. Ready? Go. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You see, God has set a race before you, a life, and he's given you the gifts to be able to win that race. But we start to accumulate stuff, and God is saying, would you let my spirit begin to speak to you so that you might begin to prune to what's eternal? The story is told of a very famous sculptor that took a huge piece of granite and began to sculpture something out of it, where in every day a lady would come and sweep all of the little chips from his chisel, take care of the dust and take it away. The next day he'd be chiseling away again and she'd come and clean up. This went on day after day, month after month, after 2.5 years or so. Finally, the day came when the inaugural presentation of this beautiful sculpture would be unveiled. Why, they had all of these distinguished people, dignitaries from everywhere had congregated, and the sculptor had also invited the cleaning lady to come. The lights were poised, the veil covered this beautiful sculpture. Finally, the string was pulled and the velvet fell down. And it showed, displayed a beautiful sculpture of the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, a massive, magnanimous sculpture out of granite. And there was Abraham Lincoln, and the people oohed and awed. Well, after they had some refreshments and some punch and cookies, they all exited, save the sculpture and the cleaning lady, and she just kept staring at this beautiful sculpture. Well, he said, what do you think? She, without taking her eyes off the sculpture, said, I have only one question for you. And he said, well, what's that? She said, how did you know Mr. Lincoln was in that rock? The sculptor's reply was, you know, I didn't really sculpture Mr. Lincoln. I just chipped away everything that was not. I just chipped away everything that was not Lincoln. And there he was. You see, and that's exactly what God is wanting to do through the Holy Spirit, to begin to chip away everything of your life that's not you, the one that he created you to be. But sometimes what hinders us from becoming that person and investing the gifts and then entering through the investing of our gifts to the joy of what God created and designed in the first place is that we accumulate so many distractions, and the Lord is constantly wanting to chip away everything that's not eternal. Let him do that, because as he does, you'll begin to see who God created you to be, and he designed you to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's what the parable is all about. Then he says, now you'll understand the joy of the kingdom. And then finally, he said, okay, Wayne, I know what to do. I know God has called me to be a part of the kingdom of God, and that's how he created me. Now I know, but you know, I'm just having a tough time crossing that line. What do I do at this point? Would you write in your notes, number 3, here's the key to blessings. Here it is. And that is this. You know what to do, but here's the 2 groups of people. One is successful, one is not. There's one group of people that know what to do, and there's another group of people who do what they know. Here's the key to blessings, the ability to act. The ability to act. In fact, James says it this way, faith without works is what? Dead. You've got to express your faith through the ability to act. Make a decision, jump in. Let's read together this next scripture in John chapter 13. Ready? Go. You know these things, now do them. That is the path of blessings. You see, the Lord is saying, invest what you have. No, not what you don't have, but what you do have. Go for it. How often we're waiting for something else. We're waiting for a special time, or we say, you know, I don't have much. I just got a little bit of gift. It's not that much. Maybe somebody else will come along. Maybe I'm waiting for someone to ask. I'm waiting for a real need to present itself. I'm waiting for someone to cajole me or pull me. Don't wait for that. In fact, let's read what Ecclesiastes says right under. Ready? Go. If you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything. That's right. In fact, Ecclesiastes says it this way, he who watches the wind will never sow, and those who watch the clouds will never reap. If you're waiting for perfect conditions, it'll never happen. The ability to act, when you hear God and act, we call that obedience. We call it the expression of faith. So many come up to that line but never cross it, and that's why we live on the periphery of the joy of the kingdom. All our lives. The ability to act is so important to make that decision. Now, often we're waiting for somebody else. Well, I know there's a need, but somebody else will fill it. I don't have that much. I mean, somebody else can sing better than me. Somebody else can do that better than I can. Somebody else has more gifts. Somebody else, somebody else. And you know what? It's time to kill somebody else. Just put him to death. In fact, I found a eulogy for somebody else because he is now dead. Let's read this eulogy for somebody else. Our church is deeply saddened by the loss of somebody else. For all these years in our church, he did more than anyone. Why, whenever there was a job to be done, we waited for somebody else. Whenever there was a class to teach, we all turned to somebody else. Whenever there was a financial need, we knew that somebody else would make up the difference. Why, it was common knowledge that somebody else would be one of the contributors to our church. Now, although we are grieved by the loss of somebody else, his death comes as no big surprise to our church because he was far too overworked and he was stretched far too thin. He has left us quite a legacy, however, because we have found no one who will fill the shoes of somebody else. But that's okay, because now our church can no longer depend on somebody else. There you have it. Because the Lord is saying, what do you have? I only have one talent. Well, don't bury it. What do you think if that person with just one talent invested it and got just one talent back? What do you think the Lord would have said? He would have said the very same thing he said to the one who had five talents. Because his pleasure doesn't come from how many gifts we have or comparatively make with one another. His joy comes from us, and our joy comes from us investing what we do have, not comparing what we don't have. The ability to act is so incredibly important. You say, well, I kind of like to write, but I'm not really as good as something. If you like to write, then start. Write an article about the life change that God has given to you here or somebody else in New Hope. Submit it to our newsletter. You like to take pictures. Take some pictures with a camera and then take those pictures and submit it. Submit it to the newsletter and watch them be used. You love to play the piano. Call somebody up. Take piano lessons. Start practicing. You want to work in the bookstore or in the parking lot, just jump in and introduce yourself. Hi, I'd like to help in the parking lot. Great, and start. The ability to act. You love to cook gourmet foods. Great, buy a gourmet book and try making a gourmet meal each week and bring it over to my house. All kinds of ways to serve. Okay, you say, when I'm ready, just go for it. Am I just like a loose cannon? Do I just jump in and start? Well, here's three checks as you use your gifts. Here's three checks. Number one, as you act, number one, ask yourself, is what I'm wanting to do, is it biblical? Is it biblical? I mean, it sounds so obvious, but when I was in Hilo, there's a guy that was a pakalolo farmer. Well, the Portuguese among you, that's marijuana. And he had a big crop, and he had a very green thumb. And these buggers was tall, I mean, big. And he was ready to harvest. Then he came to New Hope, invited by a friend, and became a Christian. Major dilemma, Christian harvest time. So he came up to me and said, hey, Pastor, I got a big crop, choke box I get from this, choke box. So I'm ready for harvest this thing. What should I do now with all the money? I wanted to say, well, first of all, tithe, and then we'll just think, but I didn't, that's just. He said, so what should I do? He said, I can grow the stuff and have big money for the church. I said, No. So the first thing, before you try to use your gift, even if it's green thumb, make sure it's biblical. Number one, make sure it's biblical. Number two, is what you have to do, is it people helping? If you use your gift, will it help and serve other people? Is it people helping? Very important, because often we want to use our gifts to sort of promote ourselves. You know, I want to do this for myself. I want to sing for myself. I want to do this for myself. And everything is really for me. But I want to use it for God. You've got to make sure that your heart is right. Then the Lord can let you do whatever your heart desires, so long as it somehow is using your gift to encourage others, to help others, somehow to give it away so that others will be blessed. Because you're not designed, these gifts are not designed to be used for yourself and your own purposes. It just doesn't work that way. Reminds me of the guy that was a Portuguese guy that lived in Hana, Maui, and never left Hana, way at the end. Never even visited Honolulu, never saw a big city until one day he and his family won a free trip to Las Vegas. So they went to Las Vegas and got off the plane, and everything was wow, you know. And he went into this huge hotel with this elevator, and he'd never seen an elevator before. So while his family was checking in, he saw these doors open up, shoo, and two guys with suitcases walk in, shoo, the doors close. What is that? Pretty soon, a few seconds later, the door opens and two kids walk out. What kind of transformation kind of machine this? Pretty soon he waits. Two kids with bathing suits go in. Shoo, it closes. Pretty soon opens up. A whole family walks out. Wow. Wow. And he's just amazed at this. Pretty soon this elderly lady, kind of slightly overweight and a lot of wrinkles, go in. Shoo, closes. A couple seconds later, whoo, opens up. This beautiful young pretty girl steps out. That was it. He calls across the lobby to his son, "Hey, Junior, quick, go get your mama, quick." It don't work that way. And our gifts are not to be used for our own purposes. It just doesn't work that way. That joke really didn't fit in my sermon. I just liked it so much. I'm gonna make them fit. But the third check is this. Is it God prompted? Is it God prompted? Has God been prompting you? In fact, some of you are here and you'd say, you know, God's been prompting me to be a part of for many weeks, for some months. Is God prompting you? That's a check. Because it may very well be indeed that if God keeps his finger on that, he's been speaking to you. And even if it's one talent, you'd be surprised the world of ministry that God can open up if you'll just be willing. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Use that one gift. Invest it, even if it's a small way and no one notices. Let me conclude with a true story of someone in the ministry that I was a part of for many years called Youth for Christ. And his name is Ted Place, and I've shared this before, so forgive me if you've heard it before. But Ted Place was in a service somewhat like this when the pastors asked everyone to stand at that time and said to them, "Let's all give our gifts verbally to the Lord. And whatever gift you have, make it available for the master's use, because that's what he's asking of us in the parable of Matthew 25. And it doesn't matter even if it's a small gift. Every single one of us must invest our gifts for the master's use. That is the entry ticket. That is the key to entering into the joy of the design of God's kingdom. And so they all stood up and he says, "Let's do it so that no one stands out. Let's do it together." And so he said, "Go." And people were saying, "I give you my piano playing." Another one said, "My singing." Another said this. And now Ted Place said, I didn't have anything to give. I don't have any gifts," he said. But then he thought, well, for exercise, he would go to the park every Saturday and somersault, do cartwheel, just, you know, and then he could stand on the grass and flip backwards and stand on his feet again. So he thought, well, I guess I can give God that. So he said, "God, I give you my somersaulting." And that was it. Then the pastor said, "Now, by the way, the only thing I ask is if God ever asks you or gives you an opportunity to use that gift for the kingdom's sake, that you will not refuse." So everybody said, "Okay, all right." Well, that Saturday, he went to the park, as he always did, and just kind of was somersaulting and flipping. Well, a couple of junior high kids came around and said, "Hey, mister, could you teach me how to somersault?" And he, no. I said, "I just do this for exercise." And then he recalled, "If the Lord opens a door for the use of that gift, that you will not refuse." So he said, "Well, I'll do it on one condition." "What's that?" the junior higher said. "Well," he said, "if after I teach you to somersault, that you'll let me sit down with you and share with you about the one who taught me to somersault, the one who turned my life right side up." They said, "Sounds fair to us." So after he taught them how to somersault, they'd sit in a little circle and he talked to them about the Lord. Well, after that was done, they stood up and said, "Excuse me, but could we bring some more friends next week?" And he said, "Well, that sounds fair to me. So the next week, they brought 18 junior high kids. And he was teaching them how to somersault. It was an interesting scene because these kids are just kind of boinging all over the park. And then they'd sit down and he would teach them about the Lord. They were so excited. They said, could we bring some more friends? Can we do this every Saturday? He said, that's fine. This went on for 2 months until they had nearly 100 junior high kids coming every Saturday. And you should see the scene of these kids boinging everywhere, stopping traffic. And then they'd stop, sit down, and he would tell them about the love of the Lord and how God had flipped his life right side up. Well, one of the pastors in town heard about this very intriguing new ministry. He was a pastor of the local mission where the train tracks went by and where the homeless congregated. And he was in charge of giving a chapel service every Sunday to the homeless. So he, hearing about Ted and his ministry, asked Ted if he wouldn't mind coming over and sharing in the chapel service about this ministry. He said, I'm not a preacher, but then he remembered that the Lord said, if I ever opened the door, that you would not refuse. He said, yeah, I'd come. And so that Sunday he got there and took out his Bible and began to speak, though his hands were shaking and beads of sweat were forming on his brow. His knees were buckling from nervousness. But what the pastor didn't tell him was that every 7 minutes, the train would come rumbling by the station. And the noise was so deafening that the people in the congregation would be yelling out to Ted, hey, talk louder, we can't hear you. And so he'd have to lift up his voice and tell them about how the Lord had turned his life around. Well, they enjoyed it so much, the pastor asked him to come back the next Sunday. So he said, okay. And every 7 minutes, he'd have to lift up his voice above the deafening roar of the train to tell people about how God had changed his life. They enjoyed it. So much so that they asked him to come back the next Sunday. And this went on for 2 years. And every 7 minutes, he would lift up his voice and talk about how God had changed his life. And it developed in him such a strong voice that yet today, Ted Place can speak to over 2,000 kids in an assembly talking about God's love without having to use a PA system. Isn't that amazing? And he still shares the love of God with kids today. And it all started way back in one young man willing to utilize his one gift so that when the Lord opens a door, he'd say yes. He'd say yes. As we close today, some of you might be here saying, you know, I only have something small. It's not that big of a deal. But you see, the Lord designed it that way because he knows what he's given out. And all the Lord is asking is that we be willing to invest it. And when you invest it, you'll hear him say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what the joy of the kingdom is all about. That's how you enter in to what I've designed. You got it. You got it. And if all of us will be doing that, you watch, you wait, you'll see what great things God can do in your life and in the Pacific Rim.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Gifts, You've Got to Use Them, by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Remember what Pastor Wayne said, it's one thing to know what to do, but it's more important to do what you know. Don't ever hide your talent under a bushel. Use it joyfully for the Lord. And if you're not quite sure where to begin, well, you can always get that cookbook and make the gourmet meal Pastor Wayne was talking about. We invite you to visit our online store for more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne. His books, music, messages, the Life Journal we at New Hope follow. Go to enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. Your purchase will strengthen you in your Christian walk, and it will also support the ministry of New Hope as we take the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. That's www.enewhope.org and click on the Resources tab. We'll be right back. Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship, Oahu, and heard each day on this station. Until the same time tomorrow, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero, and I want you to be one of the first to know that there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in our auditorium, starting May 17th with two Sunday services, 9 and 11 a.m. Our Bible College students, alongside our other members, will be serving and leading in worship. Our teaching pastors will be myself, along with Larry Powers and Aaron Cordero. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services starting May 17th, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.